Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Podcast, and we're talking October 13th games. Couple on the 12th here moved up due to weather, but looking forward to a great weekend and closing in on playoff time. So I'd like to thank our sponsors for this segment, CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, and Fairway Grocery Stores of Siouxland. Appreciate their sponsorship all season long. And Mitch, here we are, my friend. Going to take a look at four games that have an impact on postseason play here. And interested to get your thoughts on these.
Yeah, it'll be Friday the 13th, most of them will be played on. So some spooky things might be on the rise for a lot of these teams. Some good matchups, though. We'll start off in Hinton, where 4-3 West Sioux comes to town to take on 4-3 Hinton Blackhawks. It should be a really good one. I think, you know, you look at a team in West Sioux that's, you know, innate to scoring a lot, but also on the defensive side does give up a few amount of points. And then Hinton is a really just a steady team that runs the ball heavy. They only have 344 passing yards on the entire year through seven games. But what they do defensively, they're really, you know, good on the front line with causing pressure. And then, you know, with their back, you know, seven guys, they're able to cover a lot of ground and, you know, limit mistakes on the defensive side and keep themselves in football games. So it's really going to be kind of a different contrast of two teams playing. You really have to pay attention to both teams' quarterbacks because they do it through the air and the ground. Blake Wiggins for West Sioux, and on the ground, Gabe Anderson, and through the air for Hinton. I mean, you look at it, both guys, I think, you know, if you look at it, have scored 14 touchdowns on one side and 18 touchdowns on the other. A lot more passing yards for Wiggins, more rushing yards for Anderson, just on a couple more attempts. So it's kind of going to be a pick-your-poison game. It's going to be, from the jump, is what team's able to establish tempo. I think Hinton wants to run more of a kind of wear you down, wear you out type of game, whereas West Sioux is kind of firing on all cylinders, what they have been for, you know, the past 7 or 8 years, at least up there in Hayward, because they've passed for nearly 1,000 yards and have rushed for over 1,000. So they're a high tempo offense. They rush for 5 yards a carry. They throw for 10 yards pass. It's a team that's doesn't see third down very often, and when they do, that's kind of when they get into trouble. When drives start to elongate for them, they're kind of more of they want to play we call it an arena style football game where they just get on 3, 4, 5 play drives, done off the field, they scored a touchdown. And I think that if they get into that type of a shootout type game, that fares well for them. But if they're going to start and, you know, only get one or two touchdowns on the board by halftime, and they're playing kind of a ground and pound type of more gritty game, it definitely favors Hinton, but should be a good one. Either team that wins, I believe, gets to head up in for district play. And right now, a lot of the teams that we're talking about are already in the playoffs. It's just going to be seeding-wise. And you want to host that first playoff game. You never want to go on the road, especially, you know, when the temperature starts to get colder. You know, not that fans are fair-weathered, but, you know, I'd rather not drive an hour to an hour and a half on a cold Friday night when I could be at home, you know, watching the game in our home stands where I can put blankets and stuff down. So getting that all in important home field advantage, at least for the first two games, is really huge. So I'll be a big, big staple to see how far these teams are able to go playoff wise. But it should be a good one, man. Two teams, both 4-3, took some losses that they think, and games that they probably thought they should have won. You have Hinton coming off of a loss to a really good OABCIG team, and then Ridgeview win from West Sioux after their loss the week prior. They kind of got thumped by OABCIG, so should be a good one over there in Hinton. You know, I mean, weather-wise right now, it looks like it's just going to be cold, no rain in the forecast, so hopefully, fingers crossed, it stays that way for all of our games, but should be an exciting night of football over in Hinton.
Yeah, it should be. And, you know, just a quick mention from me on Hinton. Last year we saw them really take off, and they had a good senior class. This year it appears as though it's carried over. I know you've had the privilege of watching them play, and I know you came away impressed. I think Coach Harderson and his staff's doing a great job over there, Mitch. What are you hearing as far as buy-in? Are their numbers better than they have been? Are some of these classes a little bit bigger than previously?
They have a really good amount of kids out. I think the number was around 60.
Okay.
For their kids. And yeah, that you talk about probably one of the smaller senior classes we've seen. You know, in these smaller classes, the senior class, even if you graduate three or four guys,
yeah,
it's kind of a lot. And I think they only lose, I think they have six total for both sides of the ball. So next year, you're going to see a lot of the same faces, a lot of juniors and sophomores making a name for themselves. But just the buy-in, I think, you know, offensively, you know, I think Coach Hardison would like to see the offensive numbers be improved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, what he's been able to get out of those guys.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of mileage out of those kids.
That's just key games. I went to a game and they had a stop where they had two interceptions and a strip sack to win the game against a really good Ridgeview team that plays solid defense as well. So it's just really the buy-in they have defensively, where in years past, you know, they were able to run with, you know, I believe they had DeRocher, and they were able to pile on and put some mileage on that offense. And now it's kind of a full unit. Their special teams is really good. Their defense is good, and their offense is able to sustain drives and keep it going. And I think that collectively is helping them to get to where they're at right now with their four wins. Again, a couple coin flip games where they could be 5-2 or 6-1 even. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to take away the mistakes and not create, you know, a bad field for your defense or a long field for your offense and win those games in the small margins that are, it's, you know, actually easier said than done to do in high school, but they've been able to do it so far and just need to keep piecing together one more game at a time.
Yeah. And we have, which historically has been a great rivalry, also on tap for Friday evening, Sergeant Bluff against upstart Helan. Helan's had a great offseason, and it's really, even with all the injuries that they've sustained, it's really parlayed into a nice regular season performance for them, Mitch.
Yeah, and, you just look at the last, you know, couple historic matchups. Sergeant Bluff really owned the rivalry there. This year, I don't know if it's going to bode well for them. They're super young, and they just haven't been able to put a full game together yet. Where on the other side, you know, we talked in the early part of the year of, you know, we expected Helan to win like three or four games, and now they're starting to really cook. They're in the top 6-1 across from Sioux Center, the team that beat them, the only loss on their season, in the top of the district. You know, they've battled through probably one of the craziest injury-ridden seasons I've seen. But with the guys they have on the field, it's really hard to stop. I think, you know, what Quinn's done through the air has been impressive.
Yeah.
Stepping up, Ricky Photos, I watched the game that he's played against Carroll, and he had three or four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a really good job. Runs carrying
extremely hard.
Yeah, and the thing that helps is the offensive line has progressed so well that
the
holes
really
open up for these running backs. Then you have Max Delaney on the outside, too, another good pass catcher, but really good on the defensive side. Their defensive line plays extremely hard and extremely fast. And their coaching staff really sets them up and puts them in the right area to make plays.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of these young guys, too, that are making plays for them on the defensive side. If you look at even some of the tackles that you have, a lot of seniors, but you know, Kaysen Thomas,
he's a good one.
19 solo tackles, 4 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Only a sophomore.
Yeah,
came in and played it really well. And then you got Luke Fisher, Scram, a lot of other. There's some other sophomores that are on this roster too. But just what they've been able to do secondary. And especially in their front four, they create a ton of pressure right away. And going up against Sergeant Bluff, Sergeant Bluff's got an improving offensive line. But with just the question marks that you have at quarterback, and then when you take away who they have at quarterback, and if you make them one-dimensional, and then you go into the running game, you can't do it all by yourself running the ball. And Xavier Ellington's a great running back. You know, he has 889 yards on the season, 6 touchdowns, and he's almost double the attempts of Photo. But how much more tread is on those tires for this team. You know, they kind of switch back and forth with Hoffman and Kerr in the backfield with the signal calling. You know, and they have some good guys that are able to make plays on defense. I just think the offensively, Heelan, as opposed to last year, is way tenfold better than what they were. And then defensively, they're able to stop offenses from scoring with that front line and then their linebackers, and especially the way that their secondary has been playing. I looked for this one to flip back over in Heelan's side, but you know, crazier things have happened in this rivalry. It's going to be at Sergeant Bluff, so you know, you never can be too sure. And you know, I know the Sergeant Bluff's playoff pictures are out of the realm now, just at 2-5, but they would love nothing more than to spoil Heelan's you know, playoff chances of hosting some games. Yeah. So
if I'm Heelan, I'm watching fake punt or.
Oh, you know, everything's coming
on
out.
The table. Yeah.
Everything's coming out. You got to make sure that you're ready for it, and you know, I know they're going to be coached up and ready to go, and it should be a close game. But I think a Heelan victory come Friday night.
Yeah, and one quick note, I just wanted to congratulate Cannon Bork on his verbal commitment to University of Sioux Falls. Cannon doubles as a tight end and defensive end, and had a great career at Heelan up to date. And hopefully several more games to go yet.
Yeah, so. a lot of good talent. I mean, I think last week or last 2 weeks, there were multiple commitments.
Baseball.
I know volleyball for Bishop Heelan was busy on the commitment board.
Yeah.
So just a lot of – it's always nice to see for these local athletes being able to go and continue their athletic career as well as academic career in college, no matter where it is, if it's close to home in Morningside, or if it's, you know, farther away and, you know, they're even going to some D1 levels. So, you know, it's, last week, I think I kept seeing notifications. I was like, man, another person committed.
Yeah,
so, you know, congratulations to everyone that's committed, and, you know, we'll get the ball moving. Then we're finally on to, I think, the most intriguing matchup, but doesn't have the same feel as our fourth matchup, but is the Beef Bowl.
Yeah.
It's West Lion, Central Lion. Mm-hmm. Both teams undefeated, Marty.
Yeah.
And I think at the beginning of the season, we would have been like, well, yeah, Central Lion's going to be undefeated. Sure. But I can't say enough good things about this West Lion team and where they've been able to grow with as young a team as they've had. The coaching staff that's leading them is doing a tremendous job. And they started off the season against that one win against Sioux Center, and we're like, all right, they won. They're going to be a really good defensive team. Can they score? Mm-hmm. And from then on, they've just put up numbers offensively that I'm like, okay, this team's for real. Mm-hmm. Tate Hoff done a really good job. Bryson Childress at quarterback.
Yeah.
And they just have Jackson Hauser. Their junior class is loaded.
Yeah.
And they're going to be insanely good next year. But, I mean, just – how impressive have they been for you to start off the season? I mean, 7-0, they still got a long way to go. I think they want to keep playing football late into the coming months. But I've been really, really impressed with West Lion.
Yeah, I just, you know, I recall going back after a couple of weeks and looking at their offensive statistics, and I was like, well, where's the passing game at? Boom, the next week they lit it up, and then it's been a steady rise since. And now they have what I would consider to be a pretty solid balance in their offensive attack with passing game and nice mix with the run. So, and one thing they've done all year, play really good defense. And they'll have to because they're scoring off with the team that can flat score, Mitch.
Yeah, and so you talk about balance offensively for West Lion, you know, 928 yards through the air, 16 yards per pass completion. That's
big
nuts.
Plays, yeah.
And then they've also ran for 1,000 yards on the ground for 5.3 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the other side, though, not as many yards through the air, not as many attempts for Central Lion, but oh my goodness. It's student body right, student body left. They can tell you where they're running, what gap they're running to, and you still can't stop it.
Yeah.
2,126 yards on the ground for a 9.1 yard average. Every single time they hand the ball off, they're getting a first down, barring a false start or something like that where there would be a penalty. This team and Vanderzee and Eben and the guys that have – we knew were going to be good for them. You know, Isaiah Johnson, another senior that's came up and played really well in the receiving category for them. Also ran the ball really well. But 35 rushing touchdowns?
Yeah.
I mean, 35, that's more touchdowns than some teams score all year. And we're only in week 7. Granted, there's only 1 week left after this week. But, and then you still have 12 through the air, along with West Line, who also has 12 through the air. But 35 on the ground is nuts. Through 7 games, you're scoring 5 touchdowns a game on the ground.
Yeah.
Average. West Line is going to have to do everything in their power to make Central Line a passing team. I think they have a better defense than what they've had in years past. It's not going to be a 42-7 game. This game's going to be a lot closer, I think. Still, I believe, goes in Central Line's direction just because of the firepower that they have.
Yeah.
But West Line definitely, I think, roster-wise and talent-wise, is the best team to date that Central Line has played. And mm-hmm. the score will show that come Friday night.
Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, you're talking about Reese Vanderzee, quarterback / receiver. Yeah.
Graham Eben
at running back. I mean, they've gotten a litany of players on offense that have scored. It hasn't just been those two for Central Lions. So, really excited to hear about that game and try and catch it at least online for a little bit Friday as well. And that leads us into our last game we're going to cover here real quick. Lamar is a team that, you know, we've been high on most of the season. I finally got on the board on the train about week 2 or 3, if I remember right. And they've done really well ever since. They've overcome some injuries, and you know, taking on a 5-2 Denison team that's improved as well, Mitch.
Yeah, Denison's only 2 losses on the season were to Glenwood and Harlan.
Yep.
Glenwood looks like right now a shoo-in to make the playoffs and make a deep run. Their only little trouble might be with Lewis Central. And then Harlan, a team normally that's dominant, I thought would kind of run away with this class this year, and it sits at 4-3. So mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit different of a team than what I thought was going to be on paper. But all in all, I still think it's going to be a very good game, because Denison is a team to me that when you look at them, they don't rush for a ton of yards. They still have 1,200 on the season with a 4.6 average, but what they do passing is really impressive. They're 947 yards through the air on just 6 more passing attempts than Lamar's has, and Lamar's has 514 yards. So they're definitely able to get the ball through the air. They're another high one through the air, 16.9 yards per completion, 8 touchdowns, only 3 picks on that side. Pretty good quarterback rating.
Good ball security, yeah.
Yeah, doing a really good job there. And they're a team, when you look at their totals here, they don't jump off the paper. 14, 15, 22, 41, 31. They're playing closer games where they know if they need a play coming down the fourth quarter, they can go get it with their offense and their quarterback. And Luke Weavers has done a really good job. Like I said, 55-98, over 50% completion, pretty close to 60, about 56% completion percentage, 8 touchdowns. He's also ran the ball for 257 yards and 4 touchdowns. They have a running back, Brodsky, senior, 434 yards, 3 touchdowns. And when you go to the other side with the injury and not playing with Waddle, but Tegan Castle has been everything for this Lamar team. They do have other players too. It's not a one-man show. But what he's done through the air and on the ground, he seems like every time he steps on the field, he's good for 1 or 2 rushing touchdowns. Got 8 on the season and 9 through the air. If he has a good game, Lamar's has a good game. Lamar's just has to play well defensively. In their last 3 games, they've played extremely well defensively. Beat Spencer 14-7, beat Sioux City West 56-7, and beat Fort Dodge 42-7. If you're only giving up 7 points a game, and if you only give up 7 points in this one, I got a feeling that Lamar's is going to put up at least 14, and you're walking out with a victory. It's just going to be a game where I don't think you can really look at the records for both teams, because, you know, Spencer, although they don't have as many wins as what they could have, you look at Dennison Schleswig, and they won their game 22-19, and then Lamar's won 14-7. So they played in close games against their like opponents. Fort Dodge was the only one that kind of worries me, because Lamar's just came off the dominating win against Fort Dodge 3 weeks ago. Dennison Schleswig played Fort Dodge and only won 15-12. So if you have that type of a game, if you're a Monarch fan, not going to bode well for you. But if you play a game like you did against Spencer and can score some points and really rely on being able to move the ball on this Lamar's defense, and a game that's going to be played and the turnover margin is going to be huge. I just like Lamar's. I like their offense and what they've been able to do. Evan Jalas, the senior, defensively kind of holding in the reins. Eight tackles for loss is crazy. I mean, so he has averages almost a tackle and 0.2 or something like that per game for tackle for loss. Mm-hmm. And he's always a kind of a guy that comes up and makes a big play happen when it needs to happen. And then you go to Dennison's side, and it's their running back that does a really good job, and Blaine Brodsky, who has 35 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, and a fumble recovery on the season. So it should be a really good one. I think, you know, it's not going to affect who makes the playoffs because both those teams are in. It's going to be who hosts, right. And that's going to be a huge one, because if you're Dennison, I'm already going down and playing Lamar's at Lamar's this week. I don't want to have to come back later on in the year to come back down and play them after they've already seen what we are able to give on offense and or have, you know, a week or so to game plan for. So this is a very critical game for both these teams, because I know Lamar's is the same way. They don't want to travel and go on the road and go play against Dennison after they had already played their cards out. So really interesting games. This is kind of always a time around the year where we talked about, we have teams that are all like either 7-0, 4-3, 5-2, 6-1 in that upper area, or you have a team like Sergeant Bluff, you know, that we talked about, that's gonna just come out and play spoiler. And the excitement around this time of football is so much, it just seems so much more amped up, and like any mistake you make is all of a sudden underneath a microscope, and it's, you know, the time of making a mistake is just seems like it's so much more critical than it normally is. And these games become a lot more fun to watch and a lot more fun to be at. So if you're in the area, I know it's cold, it's going to be colder, but this is football weather, and you kind of knew you were in for it. You can sit on your couch and watch college football on Saturday and Sunday for NFL football. Get your butts in some seats on this Friday and even today on Thursday to get out to some games and watch some really good high school football being played, because before you know it, you know, we're going to blink and we're going to be into basketball season.
Yeah, it won't be long. Thanks to our sponsors, once again, Siena West, Sioux City Ford, and our friends at Fairway Grocery. For Mitch McCumber, I'm Marty Millard, and we'll talk to you again next week.